This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT973.com.
If we're down to the Sweet 16 on the men's basketball side, the women will get to the Sweet 16 by close of business tonight. But, Jamie, for the Big 12, just two teams left, Iowa State and Houston. And Houston's damn lucky to be standing.
Needed overtime.
Yeah. As they outlasted Texas A&M 100-95. Assessment of the Big 12 in the tournament?
Disappointing.
Disappointing? Not, again, not that... You know, it's funny because when they're playing well, you're like, oh damn, you know, we're out, but other teams are in. But when you only have two left out of eight, and you're proclaimed, not just self-proclaimed, but you're proclaimed as the toughest and best conference in the country, and you only get two teams of eight to the Sweet 16 as a conference, that would be. That's disappointing.
Yeah, definitely. How many others did you have in the Sweet 16?
You mean in terms of how many did I think would make it to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, how many did you have?
I thought Houston would make it. I thought Texas Tech would make it. I had Baylor making it. Had Iowa State making it. I had BYU making it. Those are the teams that I...
I only missed on Baylor. I only had... three making it.
Okay. Yeah. So the Baylor miss for me was big because I had Baylor going to the Final Four.
Me too.
You know, and I had Tech losing to Marquette. And then BYU, I mean, they ran into the Illinois buzzsaw, which continues, led by Terrence Shannon Jr. And they'll face Iowa State next. But, you know, for Houston last night, you know, Texas A&M, they went 29 of 45 from the free throw line, Jamie.
That's a lot of free throws.
29 of 45. They missed a number of front-end one-on-ones. They were down 13, and they go on a 13-3 run.
Don't you love that they have one-on-ones?
Yes.
Yeah. I do not know why we took it out of women's basketball. I don't get it.
Yeah, I know that's a continued source of irritation for you. I don't know how to solve that.
You don't have to. It's okay.
I know that, but I know
it's not a continued source. I'm just saying I like that part of the game.
Yeah, no, and they missed A&M missed a number of front end one on ones. So, you know, it's one thing to miss 16 free throws, but I don't know how many they missed at least three front end one on ones in the second half. And it took a miracle, absolute miracle three with 1 second left to tie it up. Mm-hmm. And then Houston had four of their guys foul out in the ballgame. And why A&M, you know, they have the ball. They're down, I think, three, you know, late in the overtime, and they jack up a three, which essentially ended the game because there's about 8 seconds left in the overtime. And they jack up a three as opposed to driving, which they were going to get fouled. I mean, they were going to get fouled. That's just the way that was. And there were at least, I think there were two Big 12 officials in that game. There was at least one Big 12 official in that game. But A&M made
as many. Is that normal that they would let a Big 12 official officiate a game involving a Big 12 team?
It kind of surprised me to see him out there, to be honest with you.
I would have issues with that if I was A&M.
Yeah, there was at least one. But it certainly didn't help Houston because they got called. It seemed like every time there was
You mentioned all those free throws, and it makes you think this was an officiating crew that was not of the style that Houston would want, as physical as they are.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And A&M made as many field goals as they did free throws. They were 29 of 75 from the field. Which is not very good. Houston was 34 of 66. Houston made 11 threes. They made 21 free throws. They were 21 of 30. But 29 of 45. So the number one team almost went down to the number nine. So now you have, basically, with the tournament left, you have all the ones left and all the twos left. The three, okay. The three that's out is Kentucky. You know, they got bounced by Oakland. And then Auburn got bounced by Yale, which was, that was pretty damn funny. Charles Barkley was smoking a cigar at halftime thinking the game was well in hand, and then they came back and beat them.
It doesn't hurt your feelings.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It was pretty entertaining, though, all weekend long to watch Kenny Smith go, Yale! It was funny.
Okay.
Just to, and then it looks like Purdue's kind of rolling right along, and the Tennessee-Texas game wasn't quite as delicious as I thought it was going to be, Jamie. In fact, it looked like two teams that kind of mirrored each other in mediocrity. You know, Texas, they might say, "Hey, we should have won the game," and Tennessee was like, "Hey, we were lucky to get out of there." They won 62-58 on Saturday. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it's still Iowa State alive and still Houston alive, and that's about it as far as the Big 12. And I don't know if Iowa State can get by Illinois. I mean, they look like a team that's on a mission.
They look good, but I don't think Iowa State's looked bad.
No. No, and you know, can Houston get by Marquette? I think so. And then now the question for me is, can Gonzaga beat Purdue? Because I wasn't like just overwhelmingly impressed with Purdue, but they did what they needed to do. Zach Edey's really, really good, and they score a ton of points in the paint. So we'll see about that. 6:38 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Take your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
That's gonna be a tough one for you because that's teams you hate both teams there.
I'm rooting for Gonzaga there.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for Gonzaga to take down Purdue. But I mean, Purdue dispatched of Utah State pretty easily yesterday, 106-67. And Marquette, they were fortunate to beat Colorado, the 10 seed. They put up quite the fight, but just a little bit too much talent for Marquette there at the end of the day. And Duke was a winner pretty big yesterday as well at 93-55. And Duke and Houston will play next. Marquette would have to get by their next opponent to get into the Elite Eight to force a Houston.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Morning Drive, time for this day in sports history. Today is March the 25th, 2024. Here's Jeff McGuire.
Huge birthday coming up, followed by another great birthday coming up. So okay. There's your tease. 1937. It is revealed that Quaker Oats is paying Babe Ruth $25,000 a year to do commercials.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the horror.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. 1947, the ninth NCAA men's basketball championship took place. Holy Cross beats Oklahoma 58-47 is the Crusaders' first victory in their first title game.
Wow.
1958, Sugar Ray Robinson is the first boxer champion to win five straight fights as champion. So, you know.
Defending champion.
Defended five times.
Yeah.
1967, 29th NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. UCLA beats Dayton 79-64. Center Lou Alcindor, later, as we know, is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is the tournament most outstanding player. 1972 in the 34th NCAA Basketball Championship. You haven't even gotten to the funny part yet.
Okay.
UCLA beats Florida 81-76. Chuck's best friend, Bill Walton, is your most outstanding player.
Is he really?
Okay. It's just... The random laugh times are funny to
well,
me.
Well, I just like, was Jeff, laughing.
Jeff was like, I didn't say anything funny yet.
I was just thinking about, you know, here we are. It's that time of year, and it's always, you know, it's like February is Daytona 500 every day, and this time of year, it's NCAA National Championship every day.
Makes you feel like when he laughs at the funny stuff you say, Jeff, it's not really sincere. It's just a random laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have this little canned laugh over here. Button that
you have a little button over there?
Right.
Crowd laughing.
Right.
1993, en route to an NCAA title, Cheryl Swoops scores 33 points as the Texas Tech Lady Raiders defeat USC 87-65 for a berth in the Elite Eight.
Wow.
2013, golfer Tiger Woods returns to the world number one ranking. And it is International Waffle Day.
Okay.
I like them.
Yeah. When's the last time? Are you a big waffle guy, Jeff?
Always.
Always. Yeah.
Whenever given the opportunity, waffle is the correct answer.
But I like the Eggos way more than I like the ones you get in hotels.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not turning down an Eggo waffle, but you're wrong there.
I think most people would agree with you.
Happy birthday to former Lady Raider, former U.S. gold medalist, and national champion Cheryl Swoops is 53 today.
Happy birthday, Cheryl.
It's also Davide Moretti's birthday today, who's turning 26.
Wow.
Shoot it a little bit.
Elton John, 77. Sarah Jessica Parker, 59. Kyle Lowry, 38. Danica Patrick, 42. Katherine McPhee is 40. Avery Johnson, 55. And Tom Glavin is 58. And on this day, in 1911, in one of the darkest moments in American industrial history.
Another dark moment.
Man, I look for something happy today, okay? So I went with something that had a happy outcome eventually.
Okay.
Yeah. The Triangle Shirtwaist Company factory in New York City burns, killing 146 workers. The tragedy led to development of a series of laws and regulations that better protected the safety of factory workers.
That's like a no duh, right?
You think. Now, this was a sweatshop in every sense of the word. Cramped space lined with workstations and packed with poor immigrant workers, mostly teenage women who did not speak English. At the time of the fire, there were four elevators with access to the factory floors. However, only one of them operated fully and only could carry 12 people at a time. Mm. There were two stairways down the sides of the building, you know, for fire escapes, but one of them was locked from the outside to prevent people from stealing items. And the building did not have a sprinkler system, because the company was notorious for setting their building on fire to collect fire insurance money.
Wow.
So all of that changed thanks to that. Now, this was not caused by the company looking for fire insurance money, but 146 people died. Most of them died trying to leap from the building because they couldn't get out of the floors that were on fire.
Oh, gosh.
And that is this day in sports history.
6:52 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Here's the transition from that. I agree with Jamie on the Eggo waffle.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Just a note on Zach Edey and how it relates to Lou Alcindor from 1968. Zach Edey over the weekend with his two games in the NCAA tournament became the first player since Lou Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, with at least 50 points, 35 rebounds, and a field goal percentage of 65% through two rounds of the NCAA tournament. So that's pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, you go basically, you know, 56 years in between those two things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would have thought, given all the great big men that you've seen come through the tournament, that somebody else would have done that.
Yeah, your best friend should have done it.
My best friend.
This guy is a tiger in a trance in a state of circumstance, and I love all things Chuck.
That sounds like a best friend to me.
Yeah.
My buddy,
for a weekend.
Goes wherever I go.
The,
my buddy.
The men on the Big 12 side, two teams in the Sweet 16. The women have two already and a chance to get three more today. Iowa State looked like they were going to upset Stanford last night, but end up losing in overtime, 87-81. Stanford, the 2 seed. Iowa State, the 7 seed. Colorado defeated Kansas State. This game was in Manhattan at Bramlage. It was a full house, and K-State lost 63-50. So really, I think squandered an opportunity is how they look at that. Aoka Lee only had 10 points in the ballgame for Kansas State. So that was disappointing for them. And then Baylor eked out a win over Virginia Tech yesterday, 75-72. Today's game's on tap, Oklahoma and Indiana. West Virginia takes on the number one team, Iowa. And Kansas takes on the number one seed, USC. That game will be in Portland. The West Virginia-Iowa game in Albany. And the same thing goes for Oklahoma and Indiana. That game is in Albany. It is just before 7 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com.
Man, of course I met Chuck. That's my guy.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Thank you for being with us today. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to the Double T 97.3 mobile app. For that, it's presented by Happy State Bank. Visual Edge IT hotline is open, too, at 806-771-0973. You know, the crazy number from baseball, I guess this is from Friday night's game. In the entire game, just 2 walks. BYU walked twice, and Tech walked twice. The BYU pitchers walked 2 Tech batters, and the Tech pitchers didn't walk anybody.
Yeah, there were some hit-by-pitches in there, I think, for both teams. Red Raiders received 2 in the very first inning, so there were a few more free passes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still, that's kind of, I mean, just the 2 walks, which is, you know, surprising. I mean, in today's, you know, just in any kind of baseball game, well, I don't care what level you're playing at, and you only have 2 walks, even the big league level.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chuck. I was looking at the wrong one.
This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Get your reaction to this. Feels like Friday night's win may have pushed us over the hump, and I'm looking forward to more good wins.
It's too early to... I don't want to be over dramatic here or whatever, but if you went on to have a really good, successful season, I definitely think you would be looking at the bottom of the ninth on Friday night as a possibly like the thing that helped you turn it around a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, not that you were, I mean, again, let's see, what were you? You were 15-6 or whatever it was. It's not like you were Stephen F. Austin and lost 21 straight games. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's what the Red Raiders are facing tomorrow night. 21 straight losses for the old Lumberjacks. It's not as if you were that bad, but you were not where you thought you could be or should be, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was probably a, you know, a big moment, and guys felt good about themselves, and maybe they relaxed a little bit after that, you know.
15-7 and 2-5 in Big 12 play going
up
into
to
the,
that point,
going
yes.
into that game.
So again, I don't and. It's again, I say it's too early to tell. You won one game after mm-hmm. that and played really well. Mm-hmm. Okay, no question. But you got to keep putting that got to keep putting that together. But I do think it was a big, you know, I think it would have been just a heartbreaking loss. I mean, to be honest with you, just a heartbreaking loss. Thursday night was heartbreaking for me just because, you know, and this is something that Coach Tadlock and I talked about off the air on Friday before we did our interview together. Just, you know, you always hate it when a kid makes a mistake, whether it's a, where it affects the outcome of a game, and the fan base can point to one guy, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's a pitcher that struggles, or maybe a guy who runner at third in the bottom of the ninth with less than two outs, he doesn't get the job done, you lose it in extra innings, or a guy makes an error, okay? And so you hate those kind of things, and I think that Thursday night was heartbreaking because you knew that the error that was made at second base was a huge factor, and we both recognized, hey, you could do other things to have fixed that. You can score more. You could have pitched better after the error, all the above. But there was a huge factor in the game, okay? And so I think that was, a bit heartbreaking. And you really needed Kyle Robinson to do what Kyle Robinson did. Okay, you needed him to come out and hang a bunch of zeros and all that good stuff. And then there was an error early on, again, that cost you a run. But Kyle kept hanging zeros. And then same thing with Josh Sanders until he got hit. Your pitching staff did what you needed to do. So it was like, hey, those guys took care of us. Still a low-scoring game. We still didn't score a bunch of runs. We've only got three here, but we're going to the ninth. We got probably our best bullpen arm on the mound. We're good to go. Bam, he gets hit in the foot. And it's like, he's out. And you're like, okay, what else could go wrong? Okay, so Ryan Free comes in. He gets the next two batters out, and everybody's like, okay, all right, we're good. It's all right. And then you give up the home run. I just think it would have been – I don't want to use the word devastating or anything like that, but I think it would have been really, really tough for that baseball team.
Deflating.
Yeah, deflating, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the best teams are able to bounce back from that, no doubt about it. But that would have been a tough loss to take. And then, two guys come up in the ninth, and your first two hitters, Maxey and Stripling, gets hits and drive in that run, and you win the game. And maybe it's less like holy cow excitement and more deep breath. Okay.
Right.
Okay. We didn't blow that. All right. And maybe it allowed you to relax on Saturday. I don't know. Again, I don't want to be overly dramatic. I'm like, that's what's going to lead you to Omaha. That one win. Not going there. Okay. But if you end up having a really good season, I think you can look back at any time. You can look back at certain games and say, hey, that was a big one for mm-hmm. us. I think Friday night was a big one.
You know, especially after you have the disappointment on Thursday, and then it looks like you're going to have maybe some disappointment on Friday, and you're able to kind of pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get a win, and then you really take care of business on Saturday with the 10-1 win. Just to clean it up, you had two guys for BYU that were hit by pitches. Cooper Vest got hit twice, and Damian Bravo got hit once for Texas Tech. So there were three guys hit
even,
by pitch.
Even that, five total free passes in one game is not very many for a college baseball game.
This from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Got to be honest, when BYU tied it up in the ninth, I saw the whole season going in the toilet. Felt much better Saturday.
And that's kind of, I would imagine that's pretty much the feeling of every Red Raider fan. Now, I was, Tadlock.
What in the toilet?
Tadlock was laughing at me on Friday because, I was like, baseball is baseball. Coach, you go through these stretches where, it feels like, hey, we'll never lose again. And, right now it kind of feels like you're in one of those stretches. This is after Thursday's game. It's like, we'll never lose again. You know how it is. We are as fans. He's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He goes, I think he said something like, that's what you people do. Us on the team, we don't ever feel like we'll never win again. And I was like, well, we're different as fans, coach. And he's like, yeah, I know.
We also can't control anything about the game as fans.
Yeah.
All we can do is be loud.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, that was a little morning kind of drive-ish there for you, for that conversation to take place. So that was we kind of infected you with your a little bit of morning drive kind of banter there with Coach Tadlock, and he just kind of dismissed the whole thing.
I don't know. we were just talking about the difference between fans and the actual team. I don't pull myself away from being a fan. Yeah. I fully admit I'm a fan.
Yeah, that's
okay. They may put me up there in a booth with a microphone in front of me, but
that's why you're
up there. I'm still a Homer fan.
That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. 7:23 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Thoughts, comments, Yates Flooring Center, Trant Line. We'll have Coach Tadlock on the air tonight. He'll be on from 6 until 7. Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock. That's tonight at 6. Tomorrow night at 6, it's Tech and Stephen F. Austin. Single game midweek, and then the team will leave on Wednesday for Orlando, and they'll play at UCF Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That'll be a new venue for you, a new place for you to kind of walk around and all those kinds of things.
It will. Yeah.
You know, will you go check out their football stadium and their basketball arena if you have a chance? Or
yeah, maybe if they're close.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I was asking Coach, you know, because it's three straight weeks you play new opponents, right? BYU, UCF, and then Houston. And kind of asking him about, you know, is that exciting for the team? He said, you know, it's odd. It just kind of feels like we have a tough non-conference schedule because we don't really realize they're in our conference. It's like you're just not used to playing them. And like, hey, man, we really scheduled good this year.
The Big 12 scheduled that for you. But, yeah, no, it's funny.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, we're going to Red Raider men's basketball for today's question. There are 13 guys currently listed on the Red Raider basketball roster. My question to you is, how many, and you don't have to tell me which, how many do you think will be back? If you want to tell me which, have at it. How many do you think will be back for next year?
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Go ahead.
I'm going to give you a number. My number is 8. And here's the players that I'm going to say will be back.
Ooh, bonus answer.
Okay. Chance McMillan, Pop Isaacs, Darion Williams, Jack Francis, Emily Yolajo, Kerwin Walton, Robert Jennings, and Devin Cambridge. So, you know, not coming back, he's... are Kyron Lindsey and Drew Steffi, obviously, and then Toussaint and Warren Washington. And then I wonder, Toussaint and Warren Washington were seniors. And then the two I wonder about are Lamar Washington and Demorion Williams. Now, Lamar Washington could be a guy that comes back, so that would put you at 9, but he just didn't play a great deal. He appeared in 30 games, but averaged about 9 minutes a game and about 2 points a ball game. So it depends on kind of what your needs are. You need some big guys.
Mm-hmm.
You need some big guys. Probably could use another shooter. Jeff?
See, I think Washington does come back.
Okay.
So I'm at 9. All of Chuck's group plus Lamar Washington is the where I would put that line of guys that I think are coming back.
Okay, 9. Uh-oh. Okay, so all of them and Washington, so at 9.
Yeah.
Okay, now for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think the certain guys will leave. I think Chance McMillan will be back. I think Darion Williams will be back. That's 2. I think Emily Yolajo will be back. That's 3. I think Kerwin Walton will be back. That's 4. Robert Jennings will be back. That's 5. Devin Cambridge will be back. That's 6. I think Coach McCaslin's going to have some work to do.
You too. Okay. So you
think the number is 6.
Even though Pop Isaacs has said he's coming back, you think he's not going to come back?
I would not bet my house on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I will be honest, I was influenced by him saying he was coming back. Had he not said that, I would be in the same camp as Jamie, that he would be going someplace else.
I personally don't think he's the style of player that is fits Coach McCaslin's style of coaching.
Hmm.
I think there'll be some sort of a mutual parting there.
Okay. And you think Lamar will be gone too, Lamar Washington?
I think Lamar will go somewhere where he can play.
Where he can play, yeah.
Yeah. And no, Tech not angry with him, him not angry with Tech. He just wants to play.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jack Francis. I think they'll go somewhere where he can play.
And how about Demorion Williams? Same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't play much anyway, so.
I'd forgotten he was on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think they're going to go somewhere where they can play. Not angry with coach or not angry with tech, but they want to play. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm. And so do you, what do you think's the biggest need?
Uh-huh. Bigs and a true point guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd like
some guards with a little more length too.
Okay.
I think Jamie just said one of everything, please.
You got a smorgasbord. You're going through the smorgasbord of basketball players, and you're gonna pick up a piece of chicken. You're gonna pick up some brisket. You're gonna pick up a slice of pizza. You're gonna
pork chops.
Some pork chops.
Bacon. Gotta get bacon. Bacon's like a rule.
a little bit of everything there as you're sliding down the protein
sticks,
size.
Just to get the fish.
Are you a fish sticks guy?
I like fish sticks. Okay. Yeah. I guess the one I'm the most surprised that you guys think will be back is Lamar Washington.
Jeff's the one that said he was for sure on that. I felt like
well,
there'd be
for
eight
sure
nights.
It's a stretch, but I feel like he is going to come back. That because he did play.
Yeah, but I don't think he looks forward and says, okay, so next year with such and such leaving, now I'm going to get to have all these minutes. It's my turn. I don't see that.
I think the other thing when you talk about Pop is, you know, his dad coming out and saying that he was going to have some surgery on his hip for a torn labrum. I mean, that I don't know how serious a surgery that is, but anytime you're having surgery on a hip and you're a basketball player, that's significant.
I don't really comment on what dads say, Joe.
Okay.
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying that's what he tweeted out. So that's worth.
You keep reading all those tweets you want. I'll pass on all that.
Okay. All right. Somebody asked this. Do y'all think Pop's off the court situation could influence his decision? Could it influence the university's decision?
If he hadn't have said that he was coming back, I would have. That's exactly where my head was at. That it would be because of everything going on, just take a step away from here, go someplace else. That's the one thing that changed my mind on Pop, was that he said he was coming back.
I mean, in that moment, ask that question, he's not going to say, I'm leaving.
No, but it could have been, you know, we're reevaluating things.
That would have been a good look.
The only good look for that question is, yes, I'm coming back. He could have said, I'm playing next year. And that could have dodged that question enough. I don't know.
It'll be interesting, that's for sure. But I mean, if let's just say you have six guys that are only coming back, or even seven guys that are only coming back.
I mean, part of it's just college basketball,
yeah,
right?
It's the way it is, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. Like the program saying, hey, we can get other guys that are better, and other guys or players in the program are saying, hey, I can go somewhere else where I can play more. It's just almost you expect it to happen.
Yeah, I mean,
you make the argument if you're not making your roster better, you're getting worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, and somebody asked about imagine if TJ comes back, that would be wild. NIL can talk. He is a fifth year, so he's done. Terrence Shannon Jr. after this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just looked at the Illinois roster, and he is listed as a fifth year, unless by some hook or crook he can get a sixth year. But, I mean, there's guys out there that have an eighth year.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Here on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. Go to TT973.com for that, or the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline open too at 806-771-0973. We come to you from the First United Bank studio. We'll have the high school fan zone tonight at 6 on 100.7 The Score. Coaches from Coronado, Estacado, Lubbock High, and Monterey. Here's the lineup. We'll have the boys track coach from Coronado High School, Aaron Flores. The girls track coach from Estacado, Kalia Blaylock. the Lubbock High boys track coach, Jeremy Maxfield, and the Monterey girls track coach, Krista Jones. So boy, girl, boy, girl. I guess it all evens out.
Is that a thing? Like the whole, like, you don't say Riadoso, you say Riadosa? We say, are we supposed to say Estacada?
Did I say that? Estacado. I mean, I didn't mean to. I just kind of slurred it, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Estacado. Estacado's correct.
Okay, so I'm like,
but I think some people,
I've always been saying the Riadosa thing wrong. I didn't know I was saying the Estacada thing wrong.
No, I think some people say Estacada. Okay. Estacado, Matadors, you know.
Sounds a little bit like Welcome Back, Cotta.
Are you a big fan of that show?
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay. Yeah.
Were you any of the characters?
Not that I know of. I don't know. I was pretty young when I was watching that, so. I didn't even have a personality then yet, Chuck.
Okay.
And some would say, still don't.
Let us know when you find it, okay?
Well played.
Oh, my goodness.
Might not be one to find.
Man, I tell you, I hate this for the Red Raider softball team. They go all the way to Ames, Iowa, which is no easy task to get to, because I'm sure they flew commercial, and you go Lubbock, Dallas, Dallas, Kansas City. Then they probably had to drive to Ames from Kansas City unless they flew into Des Moines. And still, you've got to drive from Des Moines to Ames to get to Ames. They sit there for basically 4 days and don't play any softball games. That just stinks out loud.
It does.
You know, and you know, when you're trying to gauge the weather in Ames, I'm sure you're kind of looking at March going, well, you should be able to get them in. It's not like it's going to snow, but I think it was just too doggone cold for them this past weekend. So just really too bad for the softball team to be in that position. And, you know, it's, I mean, they've got a nice complex there, a nice field. I mean, it's not Rocky Johnson nice, but it's okay.
They should have just let him go over to Hilton and get one of those big, hard plastic wiffle balls, you know, with the holes.
Something,
And just let them play in there. Just let the two teams, you know, we're going to just play a Big 12 series of wiffle ball.
Okay.
You know?
Somebody says this off the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Can we finally stop saying the Big 12 is the best conference in the country? No. This person goes on to say, we just aren't, and it's not even close. You know, I guess the easy quote excuse would be to say, well, the matchups weren't good, or you didn't play your best basketball. I mean, I think you certainly can say that about Baylor. I mean, especially, you know, yesterday. I mean, they couldn't hit, you know, they did, and I'm not caping up for Baylor by any stretch of the imagination here, but, you know, they just couldn't hit free throws. They were 16 of 26, and they couldn't hit shots. The Clemson defense was just, it was really good. I mean, Clemson was the better team yesterday, and they won 72-64, and they were 23 of 47, but it's not like they shot lights out from three. They were 6 of 17. Baylor was 6 of 24. Baylor just couldn't hit shots and couldn't hit free throws when they needed to, especially at the end of the game. Their big star freshman goes to the free throw line late in the game and misses two.
Well, that's the game right there.
And that was the game, right. Mm-hmm. And that was the game, because Jacoby Walter missed two free throws there at the end. And, you know, as a result, then they have to resort to fouling Clemson and hope that they miss their free throws and then come back and, you know, hit some kind of miracle three.
Yeah, had a chance to tie it.
Yeah.
Their best player had fouled out on the play, on the previous play, mm-hmm. and sent you to the line. And you felt like Baylor had a really good shot with 36 seconds left to win that.
I did,
game.
Yeah.
And you go 0-for-2 with the free throw line, mm-hmm. and the second one was woefully short. It was. He definitely looked like he got a little case of the alligator arms on that one.
He tried to get the rebound. He knew it was short from the beginning, and he tried to follow the rebound, but the Clemson guy just kind of boxed him out and got the rebound instead.
So who is the best conference then?
Well,
if it's not the Big 12. I mean, who is the – yes, the Big 12 completely underperformed in the tournament, mm-hmm. okay? I say that. I mean, I didn't expect BYU and Texas Tech to get knocked out in the first round,
yeah.
okay? But, you know, Texas was a what seed? They got knocked out by a 2 seed.
Texas was a 7 seed.
Seven. Okay, that didn't seem like
they got knocked out by Tennessee. And frankly, Texas had opportunities to win that game.
Right, right. And Baylor, you obviously thought they would make it
mm-hmm.
to the Sweet 16. That was a major disappointment.
Yeah.
I think that what the Big 12 has is depth. To a certain degree, Kansas not being a dominant team this year affects, okay, maybe the Big 12 was not as good as it has been before. But I think, obviously, Houston and Iowa State are really good teams. You know, if those two end up in the Final Four, is everybody going to go, man, half of the teams from the Big 12 conference. Clearly, this is the best conference in all
yeah,
of basketball.
Yeah, the narrative will change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, that's a big if.
Mm-hmm.
They have to actually go and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if that was the case, and that's why I'm just not dying to jump off the ledge here and say, nope, Big 12's not the best anymore. First, you have to tell me who is. And secondly, well, what if these two teams perform well over the next 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Or actually this week, and just get to the Final Four?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you at that point be like, clearly it's the best team. They got half of the Final Four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean,
but it was not a great tournament for the Big 12.
No.
Or it hasn't been so far.
No, I mean, Kansas they had a great first half against Gonzaga and then just got absolutely boat raced in the second half of that game. It wasn't even, of all the games, I mean, that the Big 12 played, they probably performed the worst in the second, there in the second round, I guess, should say, for the right to get to the Sweet 16.
But they did. Get by Samford.
They got by Samford, yes. Got by is correct.
All the whining, worrying over Samford.
Samford.
Because they were missing one player. We can't beat Samford.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.